Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. You know that yesterday we were not able to do two-way Tuesdays, but we have Toby Leary here today. It's a two-way Wednesday kind of day. So 844-500-4242, and you can always text in your question. I find that some of the gun crowd, they like to text in instead of calling in, which is fine. We always give preference to the callers, but if you do have a quick question that you'd like me to ask Toby, it's 63566. Start the text with the word curly. Now, before we go to those questions, I did want to just start with a little story, and it does have a gun tie-in, so let me just start with that. Toby, do you remember the McCloskeys?
I do, yes.
All right, so give people a brief summary of what happened with the McCloskeys, if you would.
So the McCloskeys there were defending their home in my opinion, a very untrained way, but nevertheless, it was what they thought was the right thing to do at the time. They felt like a crowd was about to break into their house and burn it down, and that's what they've worked for their whole life. And so they went outside to basically tell everyone to get the hell off my lawn, and using an AR-15 and a pistol, and apparently I think the pistol was even unloaded. But nevertheless, they used the guns to basically, you know, reinforce their wish that the crowd would leave their property and get out of their yard, and which they did eventually disperse and move on.
Yes.
And
now
they were promptly charged. Yeah.
Yeah. So it became a huge political story. The picture of this husband and wife, like Toby said, not really following all the protocols, but they're outside their house. They're defending their home. And it was a Black Lives Matter protest. And as we saw that summer, I mean, a lot of these protests did kind of end up going in more of a violent fashion. I know they're peaceful protests, but that's just what happened. And the reason I bring up this story, I know what you guys are thinking, what the hell do the McCloskeys have to do with anything? Well, back when this happened, there was this guy, Jerry Taylor. Remember that name, okay? Jerry Taylor. He was president and co-founder of the Niskanen Center. And this is what he said about this couple, okay? He said, if I were in that march and these racist lunatics were waving guns at me, I'd like to think I'd rush them and beat their brains in. And I wouldn't apologize for it for one bleep second. He continued that saying the couple should have been arrested and locked up for their actions. A person believing that Black Lives Matter and willing to legally and peacefully march to that effect should not have to face a racist gun to the head. Now he went on even more. And keep in mind, he deleted a lot of these tweets eventually. Yeah, excuse me if I root for Antifa to punch these idiots out. Guilty as charged. I know whose side I'm on. Now, these are all tweets that some of them he kept up, some of them he deleted. And the reason I bring up this man, Jerry Taylor, who made a point to really, really go hard at the McCloskeys, is because we have a little update on Jerry Taylor. Think tank president quits. Jerry Taylor quits after domestic violence complaint. Jerry Taylor, who ran the D.C.-based think tank, is being charged after violently attacking his wife. He used to also be a top official at the Cato Institute. Now, listen to this story. It's pretty wild. On the night in question, Taylor had been up late after celebrating his son's high school graduation. When his wife saw him drinking and using his iPad, she urged him to go to bed. Maybe she thought he was going to tweet out after the celebrations more mean things about the McCloskeys. So she asked him to put the iPad down and go to bed. She threw his iPad in the trash, according to what she told the police officer who responded to the scene. Taylor then allegedly pushed her onto the kitchen floor and put his hands around her neck and slapped her. After she told him he shouldn't do that, Taylor allegedly pushed her out of the house and pushed her down the front steps, injuring her. The officers observed fresh scrape marks on her left leg and left ankle, and Taylor's wife, the woman, also complained about pain from her right shoulder. Taylor told the officer that his wife had thrown his iPad down the front step, smashing the device, and then turned around and pushed him. It went back and forth. At one point, though, he acknowledged that he very lightly smacked her and claimed that such a theatrical gesture would get her attention and wake her up to what she was doing. She says he's an alcoholic who cannot stop once he starts. Toby, the reason I bring this up is because it's people like Jerry Taylor who have so much to say and who are so sanctimonious, and they love to pounce and seize and weaponize on stories about the McCloskeys, and they love to lecture us about, you know, gun rights and gun ownership. And then a story like this comes out, and I find it amazing because this kind of vitriol that you'd write about someone who's just trying to, like you said, not perfectly, but trying to protect their home, trying to protect, you know, what they worked their whole lives for. That kind of hate that he showed towards them, saying that he wanted to punch them in the brains or punch them in the face, that's hard to compartmentalize. That really shows you, that's a window into his soul, and apparently it's pretty telling about his character.
Yeah, it's sad when, like, somebody who wants to protect their property is now all of a sudden demonized in the world as racist or whatever else they want to say about them. And, you know, did the guy act in a perfect way? No. But frankly, maybe he hasn't been through a class, which, by the way, if I may plug, is a good reason to take a class on safe and responsible gun ownership and efficient use of those firearms so that you don't end up escalating a situation into a possible worst-case scenario. It's better to not put yourself in that position. But at the end of the day, he, you know, acted based on what he thought was the right thing to do at that moment. And especially with everything we see every night with the flaming buildings in the background of the mostly peaceful protests, you know, it's not unreasonable to think that that could be happening to your house imminently. So, you know, unfortunately, that's the day and age we live in, but getting trained is the most important thing if you're going to be a gun owner and, you know, exhibit responsible gun ownership. So
yeah, and a lot of these people who preach about gun control, they should not be throwing stones. They're not exactly the most peaceful people in their personal lives. Toby, let's go to the calls here. Joe, you're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. What's your question for Toby, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, Grace? Nice to talk to you.
You too.
My question for Toby is, I live in Somerville, and I had an LTC going back a while. I got it in, like, 02, and I let it expire because I really didn't go out and buy a gun, but I had inherited my father's shotgun. Now my son is starting to shoot, and I want to renew my license, and I was wondering, since it's been so long, you know, I'm kind of hesitant to go down to the police station to talk to the captain. So I figured you might know. Since it's been so long, will it be able to just renewed, or would I have to go through the whole process again?
More than likely, you're going to have to go through the whole process again. I know some police departments even make you go through the whole process again if your certificate is more than a year old. So the certificate for the class that you take in order to exercise your rights as an American, you have to probably do that all over again. And I don't know if Somerville is one of the suburban areas of Boston that will make you take a live fire course where you have to go demonstrate your proficiency with a firearm out at Moon Island or not. But a lot of the little, boroughs of Boston, if you will, make you do that. And so I would try it as a renewal first. Just go down there with your old expired license and say, hey, you know, I want to renew my license to carry. But more than likely, they're going to make you go through the whole process and jump through all the hoops. So good luck with that. I know it's been a while, but
yeah,
just pay the $100 every 5 years and keep it current. That's my recommendation.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure they're going to make you go through everything again. We do live in Massachusetts. 844-500-4242. We will take all of your calls for Toby Leary, whether it's about ammo, licensing, a kind of gun or brand you want to try, or if you want to know Toby's opinion, if you want to put Toby in a really tough spot and ask him a question that's going to enrage people on the internet, feel free. We always encourage that. By the way, we have a lot of texts coming through, Toby, so you better be ready because everyone is texting in. 63566, start your text with the word curly. But like I said, if you want to cut through the text line, call in because callers always go first. 844-500-4242. The Eden Pure is bringing back their famous buy one, get one free sale on their most popular product, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. We love this product here at the Howie Carr Radio Networks because Howie Carr has a bad habit, Jared. Do you care to tell the audience what that is?
Aside from eating two-week-old seafood paella?
Well, that kind of plays into the habit.
iron stomach Howie. No, he likes to heat up fish and other unsavory items that smell, shall we say, in the microwave.
Yes, that stink. And now that we have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, we just turn this sucker on and the smell goes away very quickly, within minutes. This is also great for allergies. You can just plug it into the wall. It's very small, but it's very powerful. It's pretty much silent. You can barely hear it, but you can tell it works because, like I said, I cook in my kitchen, or, you know, sometimes you take out the trash and you get that lingering smell. I just turn this on for a few minutes a day, and it keeps the entire house smelling fresh. Also, you can use it in your car. There's no wires. There's no air filters. And the best part is what I'm about to tell you. It's a BOGO deal. That means buy one, get one. Right now, Eden Pure is offering a BOGO to my listeners this week only. That's right. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code word GRACEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word GRACEBOGO. Hurry, these will sell out quickly, so don't delay. This offer ends Sunday, October 3rd at midnight. Shipping is free. Like I said, I'm going to hold it up for the Rumble. I know it's a small product, but it really is amazing because I've had people tell me cigarette smells, cat poop, you know, cooking smells, trash, allergies. This thing is just, it really is a productive, productive air purifier, and you're not going to regret it. And if you get it now, you'll get two, which is great. You buy one, you get one. Now, when we get back, we already have full line, so we'll go right to Toby. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Full lines, tons of texts, 2A Tuesday on a Wednesday's off to a great start. But before we go back to Toby, let's do the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Howie has used Kennedy for decades. I'm using Kennedy Carpets in my living room, in my dining room, and I'm so excited about it. For all of your flooring needs and carpet cleaning, go to KennedyCarpet.com today. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
It is National Coffee Day, so which is better, hot coffee or iced coffee?
I'm going to say iced coffee. Toby, what do you say?
Hot coffee all the way.
Oh, okay. Let's see the results.
Toby is in the lead. 71% now say hot coffee and only 29% for iced coffee.
Out of your minds. You're completely insane. All right. Let's go to the
one of those people that get insulted when they ask me if I want it hot or cold. I ordered a coffee.
Oh, you're old school. all right, let's go to the calls here, Toby. Let's go to John. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, John.
Completely insane. All right.
John, you there? Okay, we'll wait on John. We'll go to Sean. Sean, you're next with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, it's Shawnee Gunn from Danvers. What's up, Toby?
Shawnee Gunn.
Shawnee Gunn, brother. Hey, it's hot coffee all the way, Tobes, all the way. There's no question about it. Don't listen to her. Hey, I took the course, as you know, a couple of years. I think it was 2 years now. Is that I took the course to get my license. I mean, to get my gun, rather. Do I have to take that course again? the Davis Police Department?
That's a good question, Sean. I'm not sure if you're going to have to, and I would just go back in to the PD and say, look, I got my application here, and with the case of this pandemic where we had to sit on the sidelines for a year, here's my application, here's my certificate. You should be good to go. But if they say, oh, no, you got to redo everything, you know, we'll take care of you on it. So,
I just want to say Shawnee Guns just said, don't listen to her. I don't know what's happening here. Toby fills in for me a couple times, and this becomes the Toby Leary Show. That's okay.
Uh-oh.
I forgive Shawnee Guns. I understand, okay? Hot coffee people, they have their ways. All right, let's go.
He's like your cousin from Boston, but he's Shawnee Guns from Danvers.
All right, let's go to... actually, you know what, Toby? Before we go back to the calls here, I would be remiss if I didn't take at least a few texts. 603 says, Toby, is there a limit to how many rounds of ammunition one person can own or store in their home in Massachusetts?
It's just... it's directly proportionate to the size of your house and how much room you have for that ammo. If you decide to stockpile ammo, quote-unquote, which most of us... you know, have what most people would consider a stockpile, even though it's only a few thousand rounds. But if you get over the 10,000 round threshold, the only thing you need to do is get a special permit from the local fire department.
All right, and another text question from 617. Toby, on the outside of the 22 long rifle ammo box, it says 3.5 barrel. What does that mean?
3.5 barrel. I'm not sure. Oh, that's probably the velocity that the round was. I would assume it's the velocity of the ammunition when it was shot out of a 3.5-inch barrel. That's what they're measuring, the unit of measure, you know, because the velocity would change depending on the length of barrel. So
we almost stumped you, though. We got close there with that one. Good job,
yeah,
617.
I just kind of made that up, but that's what I'm assuming that means.
I'm sure if you're wrong, the gun blogs are going to talk about it tonight, so don't worry, you will be corrected. Let's go to Darren. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Darren.
Hey, Grace. Hey, Toby. Great show, and I love the 2A moments that you guys have.
Thank you.
Grace Curley, it's awesome. I had a question about the Dark Storm fixed mag lower. I'm interested in building... an AR, but not a rifle. Is that possible when you build your
Absolutely.
Own?
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, the only way to build a short-barreled rifle, quote-unquote, or a pistol in this state, really, is an AR pistol, is to, A, either have a lower that you got prior to 94, or have a fixed mag lower. So because the magazine is fixed in the lower, it can't be considered an assault weapon. So you can go ahead and build it into a pistol. And a lot of people are doing that, especially for coyote hunting and everything else. It's worked out great because you've got plenty of room for optics and thermal and everything else. So, yeah, it's a good way to go, and the Dark Storm is a phenomenal lower, and you'll be in good shape with that. So good plan.
All right, thank you, Darren. 844-500-4242. If you tried before, you didn't get on. Slots are opening up, so keep calling in. Let's go to John here. John, you're next with Toby Leary again. Go ahead, John.
A question for you, Toby, and I apologize for my ignorance. I know a little bit about the McCloskey case, but I believe you had a comment saying that they may have acted inappropriately. What did they do wrong?
Well, I just personally wouldn't have done that. Like, that didn't de-escalate the situation. I felt like it was potentially going to escalate the situation into a position that, you know, I don't want to be in, which would be having to fire a gun in defense of myself. That's my worst-case scenario. My best-case scenario is maybe arming myself, getting 911 on the phone, saying there's people in my yard surrounding my house, you know, and getting to a barricade position if they start to break through the door or whatever. I don't want to shoot people unless, you know, it's my last resort. You know what I mean? So going out there in a provocative manner with your finger on the trigger, pointing guns at people in some states is assault with a deadly weapon. And, you know, so you're going to have to face those charges at the very least. And it may or may not be justified in, you know, whatever state you're in. But even if you take the legality of it out of there and you think of it as should versus could, like, I don't want to do that because even if I can legally, I don't want to be in that situation. So I would have stayed inside.
Good answer and good question by John. We'll take more of your calls, 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with Two Way Tuesday on a Wednesday.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. So many questions for Toby, so many callers on the line, so I'm not going to waste any time. Let's go right to Bob. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. What is your question for Toby, Bob?
Hey, Toby, I reload shotgun shells specifically, and as you know, components are really hard to come by, primers in particular. Do you have any idea when we're going to start seeing primers again on the store shelves?
Yeah, that's a tough one. We do have some of the 209 primers, not a whole lot. So if you're in a pinch, you can probably grab a few hundred of them from us. But for the most part, it's very difficult to get them right now. And I know that the shotgun industry as a whole, the shotgun shell manufacturers are way behind for target ammo and whatnot. We have barely got any in the past year and a half, so they have a lot of catching up to do before they're probably going to start leasing primers out again, unfortunately. But we might be able to get some from Europe and import them, but I've heard there's some big containers of them coming. So hopefully, we live in hope, that's it. I wish I had better news for you on that front.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Good question. Let's go right to Matt. You're next with Toby Leary on 2A Tuesdays on a Wednesday. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Toby, it's Matt from Salem. Look, I was in your shop a few years ago, and I got my Utah license, very useful, because I do a lot of traveling, so that was a lot of fun. Thank you for hosting that. But my question to you really is about micro-conversion kits. A, okay. Are they even legal in Massachusetts? And B, I can't seem to find one that fits my... I have a large 9mm. It's a Walther P99. And I would think it would be relatively easy to find an MCK for my Walther.
Yeah, I don't think they make one for that model pistol, to be honest with you. They might, but I'm unaware of that. They typically make them for the most popular guns out there, like Glocks and M&Ps and, you know, SIG 320s and Berettas and stuff like that. But I haven't seen any for the Walther P99s per se. But there might be also a universal one out there that I'm unaware of. But the legality of them in Massachusetts, I'm not 100% on myself. I've asked two different lawyers and got two different answers. And to me, it made sense that it's not a permanent modification to the firearm, so therefore, why wouldn't it be legal? But one of the lawyers said, no, once you put that on, it's over 49 ounces, and now the gun is considered an assault weapon. So I would consult with a good attorney on that one, because you don't want to get jammed up on it. And the fact that I don't know certainly probably means that the person in law enforcement that you would interact with is certainly not going to know about it and might, you know, go the wrong way for you. So I'd hate to see that happen, but I'm not sure you'd want to check with counsel on that one.
All right. Thank you for the call, Matt. Toby, 781 says, going back to the AR pistol question, isn't the weight still an issue even with the fixed mag?
Not necessarily. And the reason I know that is because they tested a Thompson Center Arms for sale in Massachusetts, and it's actually on the approved firearms roster, and that definitely weighs more than 49 ounces because it's a 15-inch barrel, and I think it shoots 45-70, and it's a big heavy-duty gun. So I don't think that could qualify as an assault weapon with a fixed magazine. If you read the definition of assault weapon, it has to have a detachable magazine. So I don't think that just the weight of the gun applies in that case. So, but I could be wrong, but you never know. I think the magazine must be detachable in order for it to be considered an assault weapon.
Okay, let's go to Brian. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. What's your question for Toby, Brian?
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Toby, I've got a Beretta CX4 pre-band. Can I and how can I buy like 18-round or 20-round magazines?
Yeah, so the magazines you'd have to get pre-band. It doesn't necessarily matter if the gun is pre-band or not. The magazine itself has to be pre-band. So the magazine will have had to have been manufactured prior to September 13th, 1994. So what you want to, we do sell pre-band Beretta mags all the time. We find them, we sell them, and you can call the store and we'd let you know if we have any in stock at the time. But they're probably going to be 15 rounders, and there's probably a company out there like Terran Tactical or somebody like that, Apex or whatever, that makes extended magazine base plates. So you could add like a plus five or a plus six to the bottom of a 15-round magazine to get you up to that 20-round capacity. As long as the mag is pre-banned, you can do that. So that's what I would do.
All right. Thank you for the call, Brian. Let's go to Jim. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi. A friend of mine bought a house a couple of years ago from a family that was settling their parents' estate. Recently, they found a .30-06 up in the rafters of the cellar. And I was interested in buying it, but I don't know how it would be transferred, being that, you know, the owner is deceased and it's been a few years.
Sure. Do the people who own the house now have a license to carry?
No.
Or a firearms license? No. All right, so then the best bet is to get it to a dealer and let the dealer do a transfer to you. I would just do a, you know, if they had their own license, they could just register it in their name and then do a private transfer to you. But where they're not licensed, I would, you know, pick it up, bring it to a local gun shop, and they can put it on their books and then transfer it to you. So pretty straightforward, but it shouldn't be a big deal. Probably be a transfer fee involved, but usually around $40 to $50.
All right. Thank you for the call, Jim. Now, Toby, this is a question that I know you talk about in a lot of your classes, but I think a lot of people listening would probably appreciate an answer. This is 774. He or she writes, if I'm pulled over and I have a firearm in the car, locked up and ammo stored separately, of course, should I tell the officer about it or is it best to remain quiet?
My personal policy is I just don't volunteer the information unless I'm asked. If they ask me and say, do you have any weapons in the car, I'll tell them, yep, I have one in the back, it's locked in a case, and or if it's carried on my person, I'll tell them exactly where, how would you like me to proceed. But I just don't volunteer the information unless they ask. So that's my personal opinion on it. There's other people that feel very strongly that the first thing you should do is alert law enforcement that you have a gun in the car, but that's up to you. There's no law that requires you to. So in some states there is, like Maine doesn't have a law about whether or not you can carry the gun unless you're, if you're not a prohibited person, you can legally carry a gun there. But you must disclose to the police officer if you are carrying a gun when they come to the car. So just check your local laws in whatever state you live in. Massachusetts, you do not have a duty to inform the officer, but some people do it as a courtesy.
All right. Thank you for the text, 774. Good question. Let's go to Colleen. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Go ahead, Colleen.
Hi, Toby. I'd like to know when you should have an attorney draw a gun trust.
Yeah, that's a good question. We don't see it a lot. Only when people have National Firearms Act firearms. And what that is, in some states you're allowed to, well, 44 states I think it is, or 42 states you're allowed to own suppressors. In our state you can have short-barreled rifles or short-barreled shotguns or AOWs and machine guns. And so if you have one of those type of guns, it's a registered firearm with the federal government where you pay a tax, $200 tax on it, and people create these firearms trusts so that other responsible people that are part of the trust can shoot those guns or borrow those guns or take them to the range without having to be with the person who owns it. So as long as they're a trustee or a responsible person on the trust, they can then go ahead and shoot those guns and take them to a range or whatever. So I would say if you have a big NFA collection or more than one NFA item, it would be a good time to put a NFA trust together, a firearms trust. But that's really the only time I would probably do it, unless I had a giant gun collection that I was worried about inheritance.
Thank you for the call, Colleen. Let's go to Ted. Ted, you're next with Toby Leary on from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Ted.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Toby, I own a Colt 45 1911, you know, mm-hmm. a great classic firearm, but not the easiest thing in the world to conceal. Do you have any recommendations about smaller frame 45 caliber firearms that are much easier to conceal?
Yeah. I carried a 45 Colt for like 15 years till I realized, hey, there might be a better tool for the job. And so I went to a modern striker-fired gun. If you want to stick with 45, believe it or not, Carr Arms makes one that called the K45 or the P45, and they're made in Worcester, although supply has been a little bit tough to get those guns. But Smith & Wesson also has a Shield 45, which is a very good size, easy to conceal, compact gun. They're limited on capacity for obvious reasons because of the size of the bullet, but I think they're 6-round capacity. And you could also make the next jump up in size to like an HK-45 compact, which is a good size firearm that holds 8 rounds, so you get a couple extra rounds. But it's a little bit thicker and bigger than those two I mentioned. So the Carr P45 or the Shield 45 by Smith & Wesson would be my probably first choice.
Thank you for the call, Ted. Toby, 781 says, I've been looking at polymer 80s. There are so many websites out there that sell them. Which do you recommend to look into for good models and make?
I recommend CapeGunworks.com.
I set you up for that one.
Yeah, you teed it up for me well. But any of the ones out there you can get them from, you know, that'll ship to the state, no problem. But we'll certainly pop one in the mail for you and send it right to your door. You can give us a call at the shop, too, and we'll take care of you.
All right, let's go to the remaining callers here. Dick, you're next with Toby from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Dick.
Yeah, hi, Grace. Hi, Toby. Thanks for taking my call. You two really mesh great on the air.
Oh, thank you.
Toby, I have a muzzleloading question. I have a Thompson Centerarm bone collector. I use a 250-grain Sapper slug with a Hodgson 7 250-grain pellets. And then my son has a 54 Thompson Centerarm Thunderhawk. It's a little older gun. We've always used 90 to 100 grains of the FFG. And there's a 348, you know, grain of lead. Now, my question is, can we use the 50-grain pellets in, say, a 250, 300-grain Sabre slug in the Thunderhawk?
Boy, that's a good question. I never did try the 50-grain bullets. I'm sure there's a forum out there that probably could point you in the right direction on that. When I had a 54 caliber Thunderhawk for years, and I know that Pyrodex makes a 54 caliber pellet that you can use in that. I've never tried the 50 caliber ones. I'm sure it would work, but I would just double check to be on the safe side. There's like entire muzzle loading forums out there that kind of go through all the different combinations of what you can and can't do. But I don't know if I would just throw a 50 grain pellet in there. I'd probably get the like Blackhorn 209 or something like that, and do a pelletized powder instead of the preformed pellets in the 50 cal, or find the 54 caliber pellets. That's what I would recommend.
All right, thank you for the call, Dick. Steve, you're the last caller we're going to be able to take. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, hi, Toby. Great job out there. I've got a friend in New Hampshire who's got a Beretta that I think is an older one that might be on the mass list, and he's moving to Oklahoma. And I said, before you ship it out to your FFL out in Oklahoma, is there a strong market in Massachusetts for these that pre-1986 guns? Would it be smarter for him to figure out a way to get it to a Massachusetts dealer to resell and then go buy something else out in Oklahoma, as he's not really a gun nut, so it doesn't really matter.
Sure. Yeah, if it is a pre-ban like rifle, then absolutely get it into Massachusetts. It'll be worth more to him here than Ohio. If it's a pistol, it just has to be on our approved weapons roster in order for it to be transferred. So if he lived in this state and he had a gun that wasn't on the roster, he could then transfer one. But if it's not on the roster, he won't be able to transfer it into the state, no matter when it was made, unfortunately. So unless it's a curio and relic, and then and someone has that specific license. So, yeah. If it's a rifle, get it into Mass if it's pre-banned. We don't want to see him go to Ohio.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. I know people can go to capegunworks.com to check out your beautiful facility in Hyannis and find out more information, but they can also listen to you on the air. Give them a little bit of information about that.
Yeah, sure. When I'm not filling in for the Grace Curley show, I do some airtime over at on our show called Rapid Fire. It's on WXTK, WRKO, and WCRN. And you can also get it wherever you find your podcasts. It's Rapid Fire, all one word, when you're searching for the podcast. And you can go to CapeGunworks.com and click on Rapid Fire and be notified whenever we're recording the show, which is going to be this afternoon, by the way. So you can listen live as we record the show and call in and type in your questions as well, and we'll get to a lot more questions and texts and answers and whatnot. So it'll be fun.
And just so the listeners know, we heard you loud and clear. Toby Leary as a fill-in got rave reviews, so there'll be a lot more of that as soon as I take some time off in the upcoming months. So everyone has that to look forward to. You can keep trying to stump Toby with all your gun questions going forward. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with Howard Lawrence Carr. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It's time for the car crossover, and it's brought to you by Apex Entertainment and Aviva Trattoria, because both Howie and I will be broadcasting live from Apex in Marlboro this Thursday, which is tomorrow, and then at Aviva Trattoria in Malden on Friday, both shows from 12 to 6, so you have plenty of time to come by, say hi, and get a free signed book from Howie before he leaves for Florida this weekend and then goes on to brag about it for the rest of the year and tell us how the sun is still out in Florida, even though we're all in cold, dark New England.
Wago, wago!
Howie, thank you so much for joining the show.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Now, Howie, what we're seeing as far as the press and the reporters are going right now is they are asking Jen Psaki a lot of, I wouldn't say tough, but fair questions. This is a big changeup for the Biden administration. And the headlines in Fox News are saying that this Democrat spending plan might not go through. What are you predicting?
Thank God if it happens. I don't know. I mean, I'm not counting votes. All I know is every day that goes by without Nancy Pelosi scheduling a vote is a day the Republic is saved.
You know what? If this doesn't go through and we don't get tree equity, I am going to chain myself to a tree, a big oak outside of Charlie Baker's house next to that pink boat. Howie Carr is coming up next. He's got a great show planned, full of breaking news. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back tomorrow. This is the Grace Curley Show.